In 480 BC, the Carthaginians actually tried to do that. They massed an enormous mercenary army. It marched against the cities of Sicily. Its first target was Himera, that colony on the northern shores of Sicily. And there they were met by the tyrant of Himera and Acragas. Himera is on the north shore, Acragas or Agrigentum is on the south shore, and there was a tyrant named Theron. He opposed this Carthaginian army, and he was supported by the then tyrant of Syracuse, a man by the name of Gilon. And these two tyrants together won a decisive battle over the Carthaginian army. The Carthaginian commander, whose name was Hamilcar, not to be confused with the later general who fought the Romans, Hamilcar of the Meganod family, he actually committed suicide, throwing himself into the flames, trying to get propitious spirits to give the Carthaginians victory. And this victory had two important consequences. First, the Carthaginians essentially retired from Sicily for two generations. They still held those western points, but they became uninvolved in Sicilian matters. For at least two generations, they had had hopes of moving into Sicily and expanding their holdings there. They essentially lost interest. Instead, they devoted their energies to organizing Africa, and there's an argument to be made they also, at the same time, reorganized their constitution along oligarchic republican lines. For the Greek side of it, it was a major victory, especially for Syracuse, the leading Dorian colony. Syracuse went on, under their tyrants Gilon and then his brother Hiero, to unite most of southern and eastern Sicily into what I often like to call Tyrant's Ink. That is, the tyrant in Syracuse, Gilon, and then later Hiero, controlled the southeastern part of the island. Theron controlled the central portions. There was a tyrant at Regium known as Anaxilus, who controlled Regium and Messina. And these three tyrants together were linked by, you know, marriage alliances. And the common problems that all tyrants had is that their populations detested them, and how do they keep their citizens amused? And that was done by sponsoring spectacular building programs, which transformed the cities of Sicily into some of the most beautiful cities in the entire Greek world. The temple of Olympian Zeus at Acragas today, which was built probably on the orders of this tyrant Theron and his successors, is one of the most splendid and impressive temples in the Greek world to that date, only to be matched by the Parthenon, constructed later by democratic Athens. And the visions that came from Sicily under these tyrants in the early 5th century BC to the Greeks of the homeland was fabulous wealth, great amounts of grain, horses, huge hinterlands. In fact, they called these tyrannies eparchies, meaning sort of like mini kingdoms. The tyrants entered horses and also chariot teams in the Olympic Games. They won spectacular victories over barbarians such as Carthaginians, Etruscans, and others, and dedicated elaborate treasuries at Delphi. And there was this sense at the time of Xerxes' invasion that the then tyrant of Syracuse, Gilon, who won the Battle of Himera, could intervene in the Aegean with a fleet that could match Xerxes. Now, these notions were all exaggerated, but they were encouraged and promoted by the tyrants of Sicily, and then by the Greek aristocrats who took power after the tyrannies fell. And so there was this sense in Athens and Sparta and Corinth that Sicily really was the land of golden opportunity. It was the great western expansion of the Greek world. The Battle of Himera not only removed the Carthaginian threat and allowed these cities in Greek Sicily and Italy to prosper, but it also did in the tyrannies. And the only way the tyrants had ever been able to justify themselves in Sicily is they held back the Carthaginian, the Etruscan, the Sicel, that is the native Sicilian threat. And after the Battle of Himera in 480 BC, within 15 years, all the tyrannies had fallen. The tyrants usually were followed by inept sons or nephews who were overthrown. And by, say, 460 BC, all of the governments in Sicily were, again, constitutions that we could describe either as oligarchies or, in some instances, almost democracies. Not maybe an Athenian-style democracy, but certainly a hoplite class that was very large and very prosperous because there was so much land in Sicily that the assembly was almost democratic in that it composed perhaps, if not a majority, almost a majority of all the adult males. And so what happened is Sicily moved from tyrannies to what the Spartans and the Athenians would both agree is constitutional government, with a politeia, with a constitution, with an assembly that was sovereign, with a boule and magistrates who were in some way held responsible to the assembly. So Sicily, therefore, in many ways, looked like the kind of government patterns that we'd seen in the Greek world in the classical age.